Right. To our listeners here in Gimel, to our listeners in New York, across the world, wherever you may be. So let's learn the Mishnah again. We began a Mishnah yesterday. Let's go from the beginning of the Mishnah. Mishalei ro'o simchas beis ha-shreivo le'ro'o simcha miyomov. Whoever never saw the simcha of the simchas beis ha-shreivo, if you didn't see that simcha, then you don't really know what simcha is. You never saw simcha in your life. Now the Mishnah details for us exactly what happened. The motzi yom tov rishon shel chag. Yorodul ezras noshim u'mesaknim shom tikun godel. They descended into the ezras noshim and they fixed up a great tikun. It's not clear what it's referring to. Rashi says you'll see in the Gemara. Menorah shel zov hayu shom. There were very large candelabras made out of gold. We saw they were 50 yamas high. Va'arbos folim shel zov b'roshehem. And there were four bowls also made out of gold at the top of them. Va'arbos sulamos l'kol echad ve'echad. And there were four ladders for each one. Va'arbos yelodim and four children mipirchei kohuna, the young children, the kohenim. U'biyodehem. Kadim shel meh ve'esrim lug. They had jugs of 120 lug, whether it's each or all together. They went up the ladder. Shein matilin, that they used to pour l'kol safal v'safal into every individual bowl. That was the oil. What was the wick? Mibloi michnasei koyanim, the worn out trousers or pants of the koyanim. Umehim menayin, and also their belts also were no longer being used. Mehen, it was from them. Hoyu mafkin, they used to rip them up into shreds. They were no longer in use because they had already been worn out. Ubaheh, hoyu madlikin, and it was with them that they would madlik. So we now know what the wick was, we now know what the oil was. Veloy hoyo chotzer b'Yerushalayim, there was no courtyard in Yerushalayim she'eino me'iro, that was not lit up. Me'oir beis ha-she'evo, from the light of the beis ha-she'evo. As Rashi explains, the menorahs were very high. The beis hamikdash itself is in a high place. It was very brightly lit, large flames, and it brought light into the entire Yerushalayim. Chasidim va'anshei ma'isa, the righteous and people who have good deeds. Hoyumarakdin bifnehem, they would dance in front of them. What's in front of them? In front of these menorahs. Ba'avukos shel oir shebiyideihem, with torches of fire that were in their hand. Rashi went into great detail explaining to us the juggling process. Va'omrim lifnehem, and they said in front of them, divrei shirois v'sushbochos, thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, Rashi said, Mefarash B'Gemara. So exactly what these praises were to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll soon discuss. V'Halevim, and the Levim were there, B'Kinoirois, with their harps, U'B'Nevolim, violins, U'Mitzaltayim, with their cymbals, U'B'Chatzotzrois, and with their trumpets. Not only those specific instruments, but also the clay shear, b'loy mispar. Also a musical instruments, b'loy mispar. Too many to count, innumerable. It's a phenomenally large orchestra playing there. Where were they standing? Al chomesh esrei mailois. They were standing on the 15 steps. Hayordois me'ezras Yisrael le'ezras noshim, that go down, that descend from the Ezras Yisrael down into the Ezras Noshim. There were 15 steps, and it was those 15 steps that the Levim were standing on when they played their music. Why were there exactly 15 steps? Says the Mishnah, Keneged Chomesh Esrei Hamailois Shebetehillim. We know that in Tehillim, what is the longest parak in Tehillim? Kuf Yotes. So usually after Kuf Yotes, Kuf Chof, parak 120 and onwards, there are 15 consecutive prokim that all begin with the words Shir HaMalos. There's one exception.
Shir
LaMalos. So the Shir HaMalos, Ma'alos literally means the steps. So therefore the 15 steps in the Beis HaMikdash corresponded to the 15 prokim in Tehillim that begin with the words Shir HaMalos or Shir LaMalos. Says Rashi, first narrow line, She'aleihem Halevim Oimdim B'Kli Shir. It was on them, meaning on the steps, that the Levim stood with Klishir. L'simchas Beis HaSha'eva. That's where the Levim used to stand for the Simchas Beis HaSha'eva. Aval duchen l'shir ha'korban. But when we spoke about the platform for the shir of the korban, if you remember yesterday and last week, we spoke about being ma'ale miduchen l'yuchsin. Which duchen? Duchen means a platform, which is, by the way, my Birkus Kohenim is called Duchening. It's called Duchening. It's been made into a verb because the Kohenim used to go up onto the platform, which was normally there, onto the, in the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, it says quite clearly La Halacha that the Kohenim should be slightly elevated, should be raised when they bench the Kohol. That's why it's called Duchening. So the duchen that we spoke about in the last sugya, upon which the Levim stood when they played at the time of the korbanos, that's not the same place. Avul duchen l'shir hakorban eitzel hamizbeach hoya. That was right next to the mizbeach. So there's two separate locations in the Beis HaMikdash upon which the Levim used to stand and play music. For the korbanos, it was on the duchen, on the platform, and that was next to the Mizbeach. For the Simchas Beis HaSha'eva, it was on the 15 steps, which correspond to the 15 Shir HaMalos in Tehillim. And where were that? Where were they? They were descending from the Ezras Yisrael to the Ezras Moshe. Says the Mishnah again, She'aleihem Levim Oimdim B'Kli Shir. It is on these steps that the Levim used to stand and play the clay shir. Voimrim shira, and they used to say shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'omdu shnei koyanim. Two koyanim used to stand. Beshar ho'elyoin, in the upper gate of the Beis HaMikdash. What is that? She'yoyred me'ezras Yisrael le'ezras noshim. The gate that takes you from the Ezras Yisrael to the Ezras Noshim. We said there's 15 steps there. That's where the Levim are standing. So the Kohenim, two Kohenim, would be standing by there, by that gate. Veshnei chatzoitzrois biyadehem, and they had two trumpets in their hands. Presumably, it means each Kohen had one trumpet. Koro hagever. What does that mean? Koro hagever. The gever means the crack of dawn, the rooster. So when the rooster began his call in the morning, which by the way means not yet morning, it's still towards the end of the night, toku veheriu vetoku. What does that mean? Toku ve'riu toku. They did a tekiah, a truah, and a tekiah. As Rashi is about to point out for us, it's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Every coil of the shofar has to be enveloped, has to be sandwiched in between two tekiahs. If you remember back into Rosh Hashanah, what does it say in the Torah? What do you have to blow? It just says yoim teruah hilochem. As we know, it's a whole suffix what a truah is. But whatever a trua is, that's the coil of the shofar you have to blow. But the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that every coil of the shofar, meaning the trua, has to be surrounded on either side, both prior and post, by a tekiah. And that's where we get our tekiah, trua, tekiah from, or tekiah, shorim, Tzki, it's all the same thing, because we just don't know what the Trua is. So the same thing over here as well. Except this is not on the shofar, this is on the trumpet. Toku vehiriyu vetoku. Says Rashi. Toku vehiriyu. What was this initial blast of the trumpet? Zeh simon leilech. This is the sign that it's time to go. Lemalois hamayim lenisuch. To go and fill and draw the water for the Nisachim in Ashiluach. Remember, we learned in the last parak, they used to draw the water from the Shiluach, the exception being on Shabbos, they had to draw it obviously on the previous day. So, literally at the crack of dawn, or even prior to that, they used to blow a tkio, a trua, a tkio on the Chatzetzreis, and that was a simon that the process was now underway. Time to go and fetch the water. Higiu lemailo asiris. They then descended the stairs and they got to the tenth stair. And once again, toku veiriu vetoku. And they blew again that same series that we call tarat. Why do we call it tarat? What does tarat stand for? So why don't we just call it tatat? Because you get confused. So just call it tarat. That was on the tenth stair. Finally, they went all the way down. Higiu la azdara. Once again, toku v'hiriu v'toku. Again, it's kia true of it's kia. Says Rashi, higiu la azdara. Which azdara? Remember, they had left the Ezras Yisrael through the gate into the Ezras Noshim, down the stairs. Higiu la azdara. Says Rashi, la karka Ezras Noshim. Meaning to the ground of the Ezras Noshim. The Ezras Yisrael was clearly higher up than the Ezras Noshim. There were 15 connecting stairs. They descended them. On the 10th stair, they blew. At the bottom, they blew. When they got to the Azara, that means they got to the Ezras Noshim. Says Rashi, Toku veheiriyu v'toku uberoish hashono yalef. It is in Masech as Rosh Hashanah, daf lamed gimel on base that we derive. B'kol tekiyos. All shofar sounds pshuta lefoneha. What does it mean, a pshuta? Simple, straight coil. Remember, the tkia is the simplest coil that we blow. But here, pshuta doesn't mean simple, it means straight. One long blast of the shofar. So every tkia, I mean every sound of the shofar, needs a pshuta lefoneha, a long plain coil before. Upshuta la'achareho. It also needs a long plain coil after it. The trua v'emsa, it needs the trua in the middle. That is always true without any exception. It's just that, by the way, as we all know on Rosh Hashanah, we don't actually know what the trua is. Is the trua what we call shvarim? Or is it what we call Tzurua? Or is it?
Yeah.
Both. Three options. It's either Shvarim, or Trua, or Shvarim Trua. We know it's something to do with crying. As the Gemara explains, there's different ways of crying. Crying long koilos, or small koilos, or both together. Whatever the Trua is, it has to be sandwiched in between a tekiyah's before and after. That's the same thing over here as well. Okay, back into the Mishnah. After the parenthesis, Hayu Toikin v'Hoilkin, they would continuously blow on the trumpet Ad Shemagiyin until they would finally reach Leshar Hayotzei miMizrach. We'll see what this means in a moment. Until the gate that left the Mizrach. Says Rashi. V'hayu toikin v'hoilchin be'elu sholosh achreinos. In these last three koilos of the Chatzetzreis, ma'arichin. What does that mean, ma'arichin? They lengthen the koil ad Shemagin l'shar hayotze me'ezras noshim lahar habayis. In other words, when it says toikin v'holchim, it doesn't mean that they kept on blowing new koilos. That's how you could have learned. Rashi says, no, ma'arichet. They just extended and lengthened these final three. They kept them going, blowing a long coil, until they finally reached where? As Rashi says, until they got to the Shar, which left the Ezras Noshim. You have to remember the geography over here. Initially, they were in the Ezras Yisrael. They went down the 15 stairs into the Ezras Noshim. When they left the Ezras Noshim, that was called the Shar Hayetze LeMizrach. Hayetze MeEzras Noshim LaHar HaBayis. Har HaBayis is, of course, the Beis HaMikdash proper. Leshipuloi LeMizrach. What does Leshipuloi mean? The descent on the eastern side. So Ezras Yisrael at the top, further down the Ezras Noshim, there was a gate on the Tzad Mizrach. From that you would descend into the Har HaBayis. So they kept on blowing the Chatzotzeres for a long coil until that point they left into the Har HaBayis when they reached this Shar Hayetze Mimizrach. Says Rashi, V'Hashar Hahu, this particular Shar, Mukhuvan, what does Mukhuvan mean? It was aligned. Keneged Shar Shemi Ezras Yisrael Le Ezras Noshim. How many gates have we discussed altogether? We discussed what was called the Shar HaElyon, the gate that got you from the Ezras Yisrael into Ezras Noshim. This is now the second gate, the Shar that gets you out of the Ezras Noshim into the Har HaBayis. Says Rashi, those two gates were exactly aligned. Vahashar Hahu, this Shar Mukhuvan. So in the words, when we talk about having Kavona in Davening, what does Kavona mean? Also aligning, directing our attention. It was Mukhuvan Keneged Shar. It was exactly aligned opposite the gate that took you from the Ezras Yisrael to the Ezras Noshim. The Yoredin Mima'arov LeMizrach. And you are continuously descending from the west to the east. If you'd be going the opposite direction, then if you'd be entering from the other direction, entering the Beis HaMikdash, then you'd be going from east to west, derech aliyah, continuously upwards. But here you didn't enter from the Beis HaMikdash, you entered from the Ezras Yisrael, so you're going not from east to west, but rather from west to east. So here we have a diagram which will not really come through on the recording so well. But here you have the Ezras Yisrael and you have the Ezras Noshim. So where's the Har HaBayis? Further out.
Outside the building.
So here you have the Ezras Yisrael. This is this gate over here. The 15 steps. Then you have the Shar Ezras Noshim.
Where's the Shar?
There. That Shar, which is exactly aligned with this Shar. This is where they entered, the Kohanim, from the Ezras Kohanim, to Ezras Yisrael, to Ezras Noshim, out to the Mizrach. That was called Shar HaMizrach.
Where is the Ezras Yisrael? The Ezras Noshim is huge. They have full of the bleachers in there.
Right, okay. So So now, when the Kohanim have reached this Shahar, which direction are they now facing? East, Mizrah. Says the Mishnah, Yigiyu l'shar hayetzim Mizrah. When they got to that gate that led them out into an easterly direction, Hofchu Penehem, they turned around, and now they're facing which direction? West. Hofchu Penehem Mizrah Lamaro, from east to west.
Doesn't make sense. They had to be facing west first. They're walking.
They're walking towards
walking
the east.
Toward the west.
Walking towards the east. Shara Mizrah. Shara Yetzel Mizrah. They're going down from the Ezra. Oh,
okay.
Yisrael to the Ezra's Noshim, and then
okay.
They get to the Shara Yetzel Mizrah. So they're facing east. Now they all of a sudden turn around. Now when they turn around, they're turning towards Ma'arov, which, as you see from the diagram, is actually towards the Beis HaMikdash. So Hofchu Penehem Mimizrach Lamara, the most incredible thing. Va'omru, and they said the following. This is their declaration. Avoy Seinu, our forefathers, Shehoyu B'mokem Hazeh, who were standing on this very place. Achoy Rehem, their backs were to the Heichal. The Heichal, by the way, is what? Is the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Our forefathers turned their backs on the Heichal, which is another way of saying they served Avodah Zarah. Upneihem, and their faces were Kedmah, eastwards, meaning their backs to the Beis HaMikdash. Umishtachavim Kedmah LaShemesh, and they, instead of bowing down towards the Beis HaMikdash, they bow down towards the sun. But we are doing the exact opposite. We're turning round towards the Beis HaMikdash. Va'anu, and we l'ka einenu. Our eyes are turned towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hayushainin va'omrim. They would repeatedly say, Anu l'ka, we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'l'ka einenu, and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are our eyes. Says Rashi. Hofchu Penehem L'Ma'arov. They're facing eastwards and now turning round towards the west. Letzad Ho'azorois. Towards all the Azorois. Which Azorois? We just mentioned before. The Ezra's Yisrael, the Ezra's Noshim. Also, V'HaHeichol. As you see in your diagram clearly, this is the Heichol. So if you look at the diagram again, sorry, everyone. They've gone from the Ezra's Yisrael to the Ezra's Noshim and gone. They're now about to leave in towards the Harabais. When they get there, they all of a sudden switch around, facing, as Rashi says, the Azorais and the Heichal. This is the Heichal. This is the Beis HaMikdash itself. And what they're saying is, they're demonstrating, we don't have our backs to the Beis HaMikdash. Our forefathers did, because they served the sun. But we don't. We are turning around and facing towards the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where our eyes are pointing. Says Rashi. Again, Hofku Penehem L'Ma'arov. They turn round towards the west, the Tzad HaZorais, V'HaHeichol, in the direction of the Heichol, Loimar Dovar Zeh, in order to say the following thing. What did they say? Avoy Seinu B'Bayis HaRishon Hayu Koifrim. What does that mean? They were Koifrim. Koifrim. Atheists, or at least they denied the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'loy hoyu p'neihem l'bayis, and upon him, their face was not in the direction of the bayis, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, elo, to the contrary, achoyreihem el heichal Hashem, rather than p'neihem, rather than facing it face on, to the contrary, they turned their backs, not just physically, but metaphorically as well. Pasukhu will be Yecheskel. It's a quote from Pasukhu in Yecheskel. And then, final Rashi. Shoinin Oysa, they repeated it. Koiflin Oysa. What does kafel mean? Like kefel, double. They doubled it over, Kedemafarish, as the Mishnah explains, and they said the four words, Onu leka, u leka einenu. And that, therefore, was the process of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. which we'll see in further detail, more details, but first we're going to discuss a little bit about the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Mi sheloi ro'o simchas Beis HaShoeva loi ro'o simcha miyomov. Now that is from the Braisa, but it's the same wording as our Mishnah as well. The Braisa, however, continues with two other Masharim. Mi sheloi ro'o Yerushalayim betifarato. Whoever did not see Yerushalayim, what does that mean, betifarato? In its splendor and its glory. Loi ro'o krach nechmad me'olam. Has never seen a pleasant city in his life. She might have been to London, or New York, Moscow, Paris, or Venice. You ain't seen nothing yet, as the Braisa is telling me. As long as you didn't see Yerushalayim, the Tifaratov, you didn't see Yerushalayim in all its glory, you have no idea what a beautiful city really is. You might think you know, but you don't really know. Mi shaloi ro'o beis hamigdosh bebinyonoi. Before we were talking about Yerushalayim, now to my Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash. If you never saw the Beis Hamikdash bebinyonoi as it was built, not in its destruction, but rather whilst it was built, loy ro'o binyan mafuar me'olam, then you never saw a glorious building in your life. You might have thought that you saw the Twin Towers, or Buckingham Palace, or other such interesting, the Taj Mahal, or the new shul of Darcha Yitzchak, and other world famous sites.
Yes,
Amen. But, as long as you didn't see the Beis HaMikdash b'Binyanai, again, you have never seen a Binyan Mefor Me'olam. Says the Gemara, Maihi. What does that mean, Maihi? We're clearly praising in this final Moshul the Beis HaMikdash. But which one? Now, how many Bate Mikdash were there? So actually, three. What does it mean there were three? Because there was the first, the second, and then the second was Hurudus was rebuilt. So it's two and a half. So which one are we referring to over here? Which one are we describing? We're saying it was the most magnificent building, and if you never saw it, you have no idea what a magnificent building is. Says Rashi, first Rashi on the Gemara, Mayhi, Eze min ha-binyonim, comma. Which of the binyonim, which building, which Beis HaMikdash are we referring to? Is it Shal Shlomo, which is the first one? Is it Shal Nechemia ben Chaklaya, the Novi Nechemia? He was the one who built Beis HaMikdash, Ezra Nechemia. Or perhaps at a later date, Shal Hurudus, King Herod, Shesostroi Ubonoi, who dismantled, demolished Beis HaMikdash and then rebuilt it. Which one are you referring to over here when you say that it was the most magnificent building, the likes of which you've never seen before? Says the Gemara, Omar Abaya, says Abaya, V'itame Rav Chista, or perhaps it was Rav Chista, Ze Binyan Hurudus. It was Binyan Hurudus. So when we talk about the most magnificent Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash that King Herod put up. And the Gemara now describes it a little bit in all its glory. B'mai Banye. How did they build it? As we mentioned, by the way, it's an earlier stage. A lot of this Gemara is not halacha, but rather agada. So we'll try and keep moving. B'mai Banye. How did they build it? You're telling me that it's the most magnificent building. Describe it to me. How did they build it? Oh, Marava. Now remember we once said, you have words in a round bracket. That's not the correct text. So if you look at the word Omar, there's a little star. And at the side, on the left-hand side, it says, it should say Rabo, not Rava. Okay. So rather than reading Omar Rava, we'll read it as Omar Rabo. Ba'avne, with stones of Shisha Umarmara. What's Shisha? Some type of marble. Shaish. Says Rashi, Shaisha, Shayish Savua, colored marble. Loi Lava, it's not white. Veloi Shachar. Most marble is like black and white. But this wasn't. Hello? Kein Yorik. It was a type of green marble. Balaz. Bish. Baish. Four chum. Grey brown. Fine. That was one stone. Then another stone was Marmara. What's Marmara? Says Rashi. Shayish Lavon. That was indeed white marble. So it was made out of a combination of green marble and white marble. That's the first version. Says the Gemara Ikadamri. Some have a different version and they say no. It was Ba'avne Shisha Kuchla. What's kuchla? Blue. Umamara and green. Says Rashi, kuchla, shishot savua, colored marble, but which particular color? Kakachoil, the color of blue. So either way, this was a magnificent structure. It's made out of marble, either green and white or green and blue. Now, apik sofa, va'ayil sofa. Apik means out. Ayil means in. So what does it mean? Says Rashi. Apik sofa. Shura shel avonim. A row of stones. Nichnasa. Entering meaning indented. Veshura yoytze. But then the next line of stones was protruding. So instead of just having a plain solid wall, you had a whole layer in, a next layer out. Next layer in, next layer out. Why? Why did they do this? Kihechi de la kabel sido. What does that mean, kihechi de la kabel sido? In order for the cement apparently to be properly set there, this is the best way to do it.
The outside of the cement.
Yeah. Now, Sovar, they thought, or he thought, King Herod, Herodes thought, Lemishayon Bedava. So maybe we should coat it with gold. Omru le Rabbanon, the Rabbanon said to him, no. Shovke. What does Shovke mean? Leave it. It looks just great. Da'ochi Shapir Tvei. Because this is even better. You think that if you coat it with gold, it will look magnificent? No, leave it the way it is. Why? Demischazi, in order that it should look ka'adusa de'yama. That waves of the sea. If you have this blue and green and white, those are exactly the colors of the sea. Remember, it's going in and out. So don't spoil it by putting it with gold. If you look at this structure, it looks like the waves of the sea. Says Rashi. What's a gal? A wave. What does the word gal mean, by the way, in Hebrew? Gilui.
Reveal.
Okay, gilui, and you know, the geula. A wave, what happens to a wave? It rises and then crashes down. So it's all of a sudden gal, it all of a sudden becomes revealed. What's a wheel? Gal gal. Why is the wheel a gal gal? Because it turns. You can never see the all of the wheel at once. You see the wheel coming towards you, a piece comes up, it's now gal, it's revealed, then it goes back down, it disappears out of sight. Then it comes up again, goes down. Gal gal. So kagale hayam. The waves of the sea. I think my Rebbe in school told me that. Rabbi Henry Emanuel, from Golden Stream. I think he taught us that. Kegale Hayam. like the waves of the sea, Shoha Avonim, these stones, these marble, were Mashunim B'marehen Zumizu. They were different in appearance, each one from the other. They weren't identical. It wasn't just a solid wall of blue or green. They were all different. That brought about this effect. V'ho'inayim, and the eyes, Hamistaklois Bohem, the eyes that would look at them, Shaitatos, would, as it were, swim around. As if you see just a wall of blue, and there's nothing really to look at, there's just one solid color. But when you have all the different colors blending in, Shaitatos, you float around, you look here, you look there. V'nirois, and it appears, ki'ilu, as if, Gale Hayam Heim. It's as if the stones have the appearance of the waves of the sea. Nodim Venoim. Moving this way and that. No Venod means moving this way and that. So that's why they said, why would you want to coat it in gold? You'd lose the whole effect. Because the stones are different colors, so when your eyes would capture it, you'd float around, you'd take the whole thing in, it would look like, give the impression of waves of the sea. Now, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Let me just check in the Marashah. I would ask you, why would that be significant that the Beis Hamikdash should look like the waves of the sea? What would you say? So he sends us to Baba Basra. This is a sugya. Can anybody think of a reason why you want to have the Beis Hamikdash looking like the waves of the sea?
Waters the Torah.
Getting there? I think. I'm saying it's perfectly valid what you're saying, but think of something else.
Maybe it's Tzitzis Mitzrayim.
Oh, Barashah Kivanti. Exactly what I thought Marashah might say. I was thinking to myself, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody says it's like tzitzis. That's what you just said? Tzitzis is tcheles. Tcheles is doime le yam. Yam is doime to the Rakia. Rakia se akov. That reminds us the Rabbeinu. It's exactly what Marashah says. Efshe, he says, shekivnu bazeh. What they were intending is, as it says in the Gemara, in Chulin, Tcheles Doim Liyam, Vayom Lerakia, etc., etc. There was once a non-Jewish professor who came to one of the Gedolim, I think it was Rabbi Yeruchim, and he said, I read in your writings this business about you have blue tzitzis, and that reminds you of the sea, and that reminds you of the Rakia, and that reminds you of the Kisei HaKavod, and that reminds you of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, I'm sorry to tell you, when I go to the sea, it doesn't remind me of anything. When I go to the sea, I think of the sea. I don't think of the Rakia and the Kisei HaKavod and the Rabbeinu Shleilo. So Rabbi Yeruchim, in his utter gaonus, I think it was Rabbi Yeruchim, maybe it was one of the different Bali Musa, said as follows. The most fascinating connection. You never in a million years would have thought that there's a connection. He bought a raya from a sif in Shulchan Aruch, Eben HaEzer in Hilchas Aroyes. It says, as we know, there's an Issa of Histaklus Benoshim. To gaze, to stare at a woman, but nice one. Their wife, obviously, which is perfectly mutter, other Noshim is also. Shailav an Issa Doiraisa, Vesa Surah Achre Lebashim Achreini. So Shulchan Aruch there says that so too one mustn't stare at the clothing of a woman. Even if the woman's not there, the clothes are just sitting there, or it's hanging on the washing line. Says the Shulchan Aruch, at least if you know the woman consent. See, if it's just a beggar, it doesn't mean anything to you. But if you know that this beggar pertains to a particular isha, so of course, as soon as you see that beggar, that reminds you of the isha. That will get you thinking. So he told the professor, he said, he's true. He says that if somebody is preoccupied with thoughts of a particular isha, then even a beggar reminds him of the isha. Therefore, that's why it becomes awesome, because he immediately makes association. But if you're not thinking about the Isha because you don't know her, then the begging is totally meaningless. He said, you don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore the sea, what does it remind you of? Nothing, it reminds you of the sea. But he said, we're forever thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore the merest, smallest reminder, blue, rakia, kizakabada, we're thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time. Therefore every association is meaningful for us. That's what he said, explaining the Tchitz. Says the Marashah, very beautifully, that's what's going on here as well. That's why they said the Beis HaMikdash, which obviously the whole point of the Beis HaMikdash is Makom Avodah, Kirva, V'Shochanti B'Seicham, next week's parasha, V'Asuvi Mikdash, V'Shochanti B'Seicham. So therefore it makes perfect sense. It should be wave and sea colored, which therefore reminds you of the Kisya Kavod and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's just make a start to the next piece of Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Mi Shaloi Ra'a. So how many Mi Shaloi Ra'as have we had so far? Three. If you didn't see the Simchas of Beis HaSheva, if you didn't see Yerushalayim, if you didn't see the Beis HaMikdash. Now he adds another one. Mi Shaloi Ra'a Diyuflustun. Can you say that six times fast? From Nachum? Diyuflustun. Are you good at tongue twisters?
I think no.
What's this called in English? A wristwatch. And if it was made in Ireland, there would be an Irish wristwatch. Can you say Irish wristwatch six times? Runachem, first one to try. Go on.
Irish wristwatch.
Sorry, you failed. Irish wristwatch. Simple as that. I'll call Bonavoy for an, it's not really our subject. Mi shalei ra'a diyuflustun shal achsandria shal mitzrayim. Alexandria. If you never saw the diyuflustun, what's the diyuflustun? Says Rashi, this strange looking word is loshen yevonis. It's initially Greek. Diyoy means shnayim. Flu is loshen sorim, k'moi metropolin, metropolis, which is now become an English word, is also a very Greek sounding word. It's a loshen of centrality, importance. Sorim, ministers. When did we have that word last? Sorim, in the Torah. Even more recent, last week's parasha. When Yisrael said, you should appoint, sorry, alofe, sorry, reformers, sorry, meye, sorry, chamishim. So, sorry means ministers or princes. And the stone at the end is loshen stav. Stav we'll see is a whole series of benches. Shnei stavion. So, diu means two. By the way, same as in English. Like dual. Two. Flu is like metropolitan, and stone is loshen of seats. So, as we'll see, this was some arrangement by which the Gedali Yisrael in Alexandria sat in the most magnificent setting. So, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if you never saw that, then you have no idea what Kavod Yisrael is. Even though it was not in Eretz Yisrael, it was in Mitzrayim. But as Rashi explains, there was many of Klal Yisrael who were there at the times of Yirmiyah, or at least this was foreseen by Yirmiyah. And it was such a magnificent setting that if you never saw it, then you have no idea what Kavod for Yisrael is. Okay, we'll hold it over here. As I mentioned, most of this Gemara is pretty much Agadaic. That's why we're moving slightly quicker than we would for a normal sugya. So we're going to keep on going. This Agada is going to be best part of two daf, all the way to the Mishnah daf Nun Gimel on the basis. And we really are. Be'ez Hashem, closing in. Five daf to go. Major sin. This is the Emerson major sin. Thank you. I'd venture to suggest this might be the longest Masechta that some of us have ever finished. 56 up.
I think I have it here in Africa, recently.
Huh?